Okay, I want you to repeat after me. Say, I don't want to kiss calves. Okay. All right. You agree with that? Okay. I sometimes become amazed at the word of the Lord as I look through it and as I read it in my time of daily devotionals and just reading the word of God. And sometimes I get into a study and I will run upon another scripture, and that's kind of what happened here. I was studying the kiss, and I found this particular passage in it, and it captured me. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hosea, chapter 13. Hosea, chapter 13. Now, the purpose of our lesson is to help us keep our priorities correct during this season. It's the Christmas season. It is the time of the year when if we're not cautious and careful, we'll start kissing calves. Our priorities will be moved from the things of the Lord and the things of the kingdom of God, and we'll leave undone things that we should be doing. I've seen it at times of this season where people would stop giving to the church, would stop paying tithes. They would be tired and wouldn't be able to function in their job duties and job assignments. They would skip church. We're only here for a couple of hours a week, and Jesus did say, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." So we want things, but He says, "If you'll just do first the kingdom and seek the kingdom, I'll make sure you get your things." And so we want to do that. And He also says you can't serve two masters. He says it is impossible for man to serve both God and mammon. Now, we understand that mammon includes money, but it's not only money. Money, it is anything that prioritizes itself against the things and the wishes of God. That's what mammon is. Mammon becomes whatever we allow to become more important to us or supersede the purposes of God for our life. Then you can't serve God and mammon. He says you can't do it. He says you're going to love one and hate the other. And you're eventually just going to go all the way into one. He says, so seek first, therefore, the kingdom of God. How many has got Hosea chapter 13? Have you found it? It's on page 962. How many does have it on page 962? Does anybody have it on other than me? Yeah, okay. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Hosea. Yeah. I hear pages rattling, so I'm going to wait because I want you to see this. So our purpose is to make sure that we don't kiss the calves, and we keep our family functioning, and we keep our prioritized things in order. Okay, here we go. Hosea chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. If you don't have your scriptures, and you always need to bring your Bible here. We're a very Bible-oriented people, and we always put it up on the overhead, but it was much better when you have your own Bible. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 1. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the works of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. They say what? Kiss the calves. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, fog, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, out of the threshing floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. So when you kiss a calf, what happens to you? You vanish away. And I'll reiterate that in just a second. First of all, let me give you just a little bit of history. Hosea was speaking of or about the northern kingdom. Now, after the death of Solomon, his son Rehoboam took over. Another man named Jeroboam, who was from the tribe of Ephraim, began a rebellion against Rehoboam, Solomon's son, because of taxes. And Jeroboam took 10 of the tribes of Israel, took 10 of the tribes, and removed them from the nation, the people of God, and formed another nation in the northern, north of the nation of Judea, north of it, and it was called Israel. The northern nation was called Israel. The southern nation was called Judea. Now, the southern nation kept following and doing temple worship. They continued in their temple worship just as Moses had given it to them. But the northern nation began to worship idols. And it's this northern nation here that Hosea is talking up. And he says here of them, he says, Ephraim, when he talked right, when he humbled himself, he was a mighty person. But when he messed up and began to bring the people to Baal, what happened to him?
He died.
God will put up with a lot of our stuff. He will put up with a lot of the things that we do. But when we began to get our priorities messed up, when we began to allow other things to come in a more superior way than worshiping Him and seeking first the kingdom of God, He has His ways of getting our attention. And He will bring us back. And as long as they were speaking and moving correctly, it was okay. Even God didn't even judge them because they left the nation because of high taxes. But when they went to Baal worship, now let's read that again with that little bit of understanding. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, how did he offend God? He offended in Baal. He died. When he offended in misprioritizing getting people. What is the first commandment, by the way? You shall have no gods before me. You think he's still serious about that? I think he is. And I think that he wants to be first. And it's not so much that he wants us to be first, but he knows that our lives are blessed only if he's first. You see that? You know, again, I don't want to get into the hell and heaven thing again this week, but again, we send ourselves to hell. You know, you always talk about, hear people saying, well, I don't know, if I want to serve a God that would send me to hell, God's not going to send you to hell. You make that decision. Come on. Right? We're the ones that causes the blessings or the cursings. If we walk in the blessings of God, He'll bless us. But if we walk in the cursings of God, guess what? Right. We've just chosen that, life or death. We make the choice. So, then it goes on to say, and he gives four things here about kissing the calf. When you misprioritizing your life, what begins to happen to you? He says the first thing that happens, you'll be like fog in the morning. How many knows that fog in the morning will vanish away? And that sun comes up, that fog is going. And that's what happens. And he says, and this, I want you to understand, this is exactly what happened to this northern kingdom. That northern kingdom is no more. In 721 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came in there and utterly destroyed it. Leveled it. It is no more. That northern kingdom was gone in 721 B.C. Later on, the southern kingdom would be judged. Later on. And it no longer is the same way it was then. They still don't do temple worship, but that's another story. But right now, first thing that happens is that he likens it to fog. Next thing he likens it to, he says it's going to be like chaff in the threshing floor. You know, it's going to be like dew. We can relate to dew, can't we? We get up in the morning, the ground's wet, it's dew. How long does it stay there? It begins to vanish away. And then he says it's like chaff in the threshing floor. What they would do is they would take the wheat and or the barley, and they would throw the seed into the air, and the wind would blow the husk, the chaff away, and they would have so they were separated from God. I want us to understand this is what happens as we begin to misprioritize. See, we begin to separate ourselves from God. We begin to get weaker and weaker. We begin to fade away. And as long as our priorities are correct, then we stay strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says it's like the threshing floor, and then it's going to be like chaff in the riven floor, and it's going to be like smoke out of a chimney. We can understand that, can't we? How long do you get to watch that smoke come out of that chimney? It's just not long. And that's what Hosea is saying here. Now let's read it from the Living Bible, and we'll just read it and then go on. This is from the Living Bible, and I like the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase. I know it's not a translation, but it's still really, really good. It used to be when Israel spoke, the nation shook with fear. But he was a mighty prince, for he was a mighty prince. But he worshipped Baal and sealed his doom. How did he seal his doom? By misprioritizing. That's what I want you to see. We allow idols to come into our life. We begin to kiss up to something else that we shouldn't be kissing up to. Come on. We begin to snuggle up to these way down people over here, food. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah, sure. Money, job, workplace, success. Now, does God want us to be successful? Does he want us to have an abundant life? Yeah, but those things cannot become prioritized in our life. Am I right? They cannot become superior to what God says for us to do. And this is the season when a lot of folks get their priorities a little confused. Now, let me, where did I stop at? But he worshipped Baal and sealed his doom. And now the people disobey more and more. See, is that what happens kind of when you start getting your priorities messed up? You start slipping away more and more. It's like dew. Or it's like a fog. It's like out of a chimney. You get away further and further and further. And you start messing up more and more and more. They melt their silver to mold their idols formed with skill by the hands of men. Sacrifice to these, they say. Men kissing calves. Now, let me say one more thing about this before we go. See, the calf god was Baal. The calf god was Baal. So when they're kissing up to the calf, they're kissing up to the idol. Baal was the calf god. What did they make in the wilderness? A calf. Did God like that? And he still doesn't. So this is the thought. They shall disappear. They shall disappear like morning mist, like dew that quickly dries away, like chaff blown by the wind, like a cloud of smoke. So does the Lord want us to keep our priorities right? So should we kiss the calf? Okay. So let me ask you a question, though, just concerning our nation. What is our nation kissing? Is our nation full of idolatry? Yes, it is. Our nation kisses up to everything. Monetary aspects, power aspects, sexual aspects, perversions of all sorts. We have an idolatrous nation. And I want you to understand, the Lord is not pleased with that. And if it were not for our getting together like on Sundays and meeting together and teaching the Word of God, if it was not for our missionary aspects that our nation does, there would really be no hope for our nation. But that's why, you know, I want you to, first of all, let's look at our nation. What is our nation kissing up to? And then let's move it just a little bit deeper, a little bit closer to home. What do most churches kiss up to? Religion? Doctrine? Denominationalism? Money? Money, sure. What should we be kissing up to? Kiss the sun, lest you lest you be angry and you perish. We're going to go there. That's where I'm going. But what are you kissing to? What has you drawn to it? What are you attracted to? What are you giving your affection to? What's kissing up to you? This might be a good message. All right. Let's look at some kisses. Let's look at some kisses in the Scriptures. You want to do that? Let's look at the first use of kiss. First use of kiss, and you know how I am on first use, it's the seed kiss. It's the first kiss. From this kiss we'll learn things that we'll follow all the way through, and that's something we should learn about kissing. And then we'll look at this and we'll move on, and I'll see where I want to go because I've got way too much information. I'm bad about that. There's at least 13 different kinds of kisses in the Scriptures, and I think there's more, but I just brought it to 13. I want to show you or run through real fast 13 kisses. First use is I call the come near kiss. The come near kiss. It's when you have opened your life to somebody and you let them in, and that you say, come near and kiss me. Now, I'm going to talk about that just a little bit deeper. But in Genesis 27:24, we find this kiss. And interestingly enough, it is when Jacob is disguised as his brother Esau. It is Jacob disguised as his brother Esau. And he's trying to steal the blessing. He's trying to get something. And so he goes into his father Isaac's tent, whose Isaac's eyes are bad. Isaac can't see. And so he says, come near and kiss me. Let's read the verse. Genesis 27:24. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And then verse 26 says, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Now who invited the kiss? So what we understand is sometimes we open our lives up and allow people in. And they'll kiss up to us. Not because they're who they say they are, because they're disguised. They're wearing Esau's garments. They're a hypocrite. They're kissing up. He says, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now let me show you first of all this word kiss. The Hebrew is nashak, and it means to kiss literally or figuratively. So we're not necessarily talking about here a, okay? We're not necessarily talking about a big smack. This is literally one here. But as we look at some of the other passages, we'll see. Aren't you glad that in our church world today, that the Bible tells us, Paul tells us to, instructs us to kiss the brethren or greet the brethren with a holy kiss. But how many of you want your some guy that you don't never know and never saw before come in and smack it on your wife's neck? Come on, huh? Yeah, see, we all have, but we're instructed to do it, and I think that we should do it. But I'm a little cautious who smacks on my wife. You know, they can hug her correctly, right? Uh huh. But you understand what I'm saying? So we can have a literal or figurative kiss, and then it goes on, and what it also means is also a mode of attachment. I mean, knows when you kiss somebody or when someone kisses up to you, there's an attachment that's made. They're close. This is a closeness. In this particular situation, of course, it was Isaac's son. There was an attachment. And when somebody's in your life close enough to kiss you, okay, whether it's literally or figuratively, they're close to you. There's an attachment that's been made with this person. And then the thought that I thought was pretty intriguing is it means to equip with weapons. Equip with weapons. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that you can give somebody strength through a kiss? You can give them a power. If you'll just at the proper moment and the proper motive in the proper way, if you'll come to them and relate to them and hug them and touch their lives, kiss their lives in a way that is ministering to them, it gives them strength to go through whatever they're going through. Am I right? It is a weapon, but it also can be all these things in a negative way. It can be a deceitful thing, just as we're seeing here in this. But this is what the word means. But the first kiss in the scriptures speaks of a deceitful kiss or a I want to get come near kiss so I can get what I want from you kiss. Now I want to just point out a couple of thoughts here. Is Isaac Isaac's senses were brought forth during the kiss. How many of you know that sometimes a kiss will stir you up? A kiss can bring forth your senses or maybe even your sensuality, right? And so this kiss stirred Isaac up. He smelled. His senses were brought forth. And sometimes you're during a kiss, your senses can be stimulated. Is that a good way of saying it here? Right? What you do is you never make a decision when you're being kissed. You think you're discerning. You think you got this thing figured out. But in actuality, your senses are only stimulated. You only think it's Esau. Be careful when you're kissed. So the first thing, and interesting, the first thing we learn about the kiss is the deceitfulness of it. And this will follow through. Always be careful with the kiss. Is that all right? We see that the first kiss in the Bible was not a good kiss. Was this a good kiss? It was not a good kiss. It was not a truthful kiss. It was not an honorary kiss. It was an honorary one. So beware of the kissed. Do not kiss. Do not trust your discernment when you're being kissed. Now, have you ever had somebody just come up to your life and kiss up to you a little bit? And man, you're thinking, boy, this person really likes me. You know, I can really trust this person. Only to find out they'll just rip your guts out. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, man, they'll stick you with a knife. They've kissed up to you. Beware. Don't trust your discernment when you're being kissed. Get away from the kiss and then smell. Let's look at this. It's got too many kisses to look at. How many of you ever kissed a spoiled child? David kissed Absalom. 2 Samuel 14:33, the kiss of a spoiled child. So Joab came to the king and told him, the king was David, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. What had happened here is Absalom had killed his brother, Ammon. Ammon had raped his sister, Absalom's sister. And Absalom went and killed him. Instead of punishing him, though, instead of David punishing him according to the law, David kissed him. See, and what's going to happen later is that David's going to pay for this. Folks, what we don't realize is that we allow our children to do things and get by with things that we need to punish them for and not kiss up to them. Because if we don't, hear me, you're the one that's going to pay for it. You're the one that's going to have to lawyer bills. You're the one, come on. You're the one that's going to have to pay this off or pay that off because your kid went and done this and went and done that. Kiss spoiled children. Move on. Kiss of the family traitor. Absalom began to kiss David's people. Instead of him being punished as he should have been, Absalom began to kiss on David's people. Now, I want us to bring this not into necessarily the family of David so much as a son of the Lord. This is when a church raises up a son of the Lord in the house, and this particular son of the Lord would begin to go around and kiss up to the people, drawing the people away from the leader or the leadership. Churches go through this all the time. And they're kissing up to you. And so what Absalom began to do is go out to the gates, and he began to kiss up to the people. Oh, if I was king, if I was the pastor, if I was the elder, if I was a leader, here's what I would do. Let me read the verse. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on the manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, a lot of times, even bringing this to our homes and to our families, how many of you ever had your child to play you against your other spouse? Uh-huh. Yeah. They go kiss up to daddy and get on you. Or kiss up to mama and get on you. See? Because why? You didn't punish him. If you'd have punished him in the first place, this wouldn't be going on now. If you rear your child up, come on, in the way they should go. And they'll begin to play teacher against parent. I have a nephew. My gosh, his mother, the sweetest woman in the world, she went, every time those kids would get in trouble, my nephew and my niece, every time they'd get in trouble, she'd go run into the school and jump on the teacher. We said, Brenda, it can't always be the teacher. They just pick on them. So they turned the hearts of the people. Guess who's paying now? Mama's paying. Who had to pay here? David. Because not long, Absalom stole the hearts of the people, and he brought a rebellion against David. And what happened to David? David was driven out of his kingdom. Now, he got it back, but Absalom's dead. You want to save the life of that child? Don't spare the rod. Come on. Come on. I know that doesn't fit well in today's society. We're too much Dr. Spock-oriented, not too much Jesus-oriented, and we're losing our children. Instead of spanking them, we kiss them. Right? Well, all right then. I wasn't going to stay there that long. Kiss number 12, family kiss. Bible is full of family kisses. This is amazing to me. I mean, it's Laban kissed his children, his grandchildren. Esau kissed Jacob, and Joseph kissed Benjamin, and Joseph kissed his brothers, and Israel or Jacob kissed the sons before he died, and Joseph kissed his dead father, and Aaron kissed Moses, and Elisha kissed his parents before he went to the ministry with Elijah, and Ruth and Orpah kissed Naomi, and the Bible is just full of families kissing families. But in our society today, you go out there in the public and you kiss on your little daughter, you husband. You love your little daughter. And you know what they start thinking about you and saying about you? You're a pervert. The Bible teaches that families should kiss each other. Families should love on each other and hold each other and be there for each other. My son comes over to my house. He'll come in and sit down for eat with us or whatever that we're doing when it's time for him to leave. He never leaves without kissing me and kissing his mama. I kiss my daddy. My daughter comes over. She'll kiss us when she gets there. Come on. We ain't been kissing all over that little baby. Oh, I walked in today. Angie's holding him up here. I run up here. Well, the first thing I did, Angie? Folks, we can't allow society to take the kiss away from us.
Right.
Families should hold each other. It's a token of love. It builds you up and it makes you a warrior. It gives you weapons to go through life with. Yeah. Is our society perverted? Yeah. Does this happen? Yes. But in its proper and its purity, in its right way, folks, it is a weapon that you can give to your family. Kiss of a family. Family kiss. There's more kisses spoken of this in the Bible than any other kind of kisses. It's all in it. Pure affection. In the Bible, it's a sign of a healthy, loving family. Am I right? It's the sign that a dad loves his son, or a son loves his dad, or the parents love the kids, or the kids love the parents. Or, you know, it's this sign that people could look and see the affection. Our society is being robbed. It's perverted. Families are broken up. Kids can't love on their parents. Dads can't love on their kids. Oh, it's a heartbreak, folks. It's a heartbreak. Why? Because somewhere along the way we kissed calves. We let something become more important to us than the house of God and the kingdom of God. No, I love you. No, I'm trying to help you. I'm slapping you on the face with one hand, but I'm kissing you in the lips with the other. I'm telling you the truth. Am I right? Somewhere, we let our priorities get deprioritized. And we let calves kiss us. We nestled up to Baal instead of kissing the sun, lest we perish. And we find out that we did. We just perished. Our families, our finances, our homes went away like the dew, like the fog, like smoke out of a chimney. Heart is breaking right now because we won't prioritize correctly. We refuse. Matthew 6:33 is just that. Matthew 6:33, it's a sweet little scripture that preachers use. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm trying to tell you, folks, if you don't, you perish. The things you love the most will evaporate like fog. Like dew, like smoke out of a chimney. You'd be separated like wheat from chaff. Wheat from chaff. What a message. Conclusion. What does that mean? It doesn't mean nothing. But do we kiss calves? Or do we kiss the Lord? Do we nestle up to Baal? Or do we snuggle up to Jesus? Do we seek first the kingdom? Or seek what we want at the moment? Do we allow times and seasons? And goodness knows this is a wonderful time. Goodness knows this is the greatest season. My daughter says it's the most wonderful time of the year. She loves it. We love it. But folks, I'll tell you, it will not interfere with our priorities. My family knows what its priorities are. Psalms 2 and 12 says this: kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish. You perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Don't trust in the calves. Don't trust in Baal. Trust in the Lord. He'll keep your family. He'll keep your finances. He'll keep you. He'll bring you to where you got to be. Now, what's happened? Let me just work here a little bit. What happened is if this has happened to you? Let me tell you what the Bible says. In the book of Joel, it says, the Lord can restore unto you the years that the cankerworm, the palmworm, the locust has eaten. Yeah, you missed it. Okay, you're going to cry in that? You're going to pick yourself up and go on. Seven times the righteous will fall, but bless God, seven times he'll arise again. I'm telling you, folks, there's hope in Jesus. All you got to do is kiss the Son. Keep your priorities where they need to be. Jesus says, I come to give you life. And that more abundantly. But he also said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. So, kissing calves or kissing the Son? What are we doing?